A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who are my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. The word of the Lord. Sake, I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my children, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, the seas and whatever moves in them.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Spirit of truth will testify to me, says the Lord, and you also will testify.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known." In today's gospel, Jesus is concluding his teaching to the disciples in the midst of the crowd of the price, the cost of discipleship. Prior to this word today, he has been disclosing how they will meet with great resistance, in some cases to the point of being thrown before the courts, being flogged, and put to death in some extreme cases. And so you can understand why in this pericope, in this section of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 26 through 33, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," three times. Because they are going out for the first time, they're preparing to go out for the first time, and they see Jesus, he's the master, he masterfully deals with the opposition he is engaging. But they know full well they're not Jesus. They've come to believe, or at least they're beginning to believe, he has to be who he says he is, the Son of God. And so, inasmuch as they know this, they realize the other problem they're going to have and the other challenge is the rest of the world won't believe this. Even though they see the wonders, the signs that he's performing, how are they going to convince others of this truth? But this is good to hear Jesus say that there is nothing that is hidden. Whatever's veiled right now to the world, it will be revealed. Whatever I'm telling you in intimate moments of our gatherings in my house or your houses, wherever we are taken in, this will come forth. You will reveal this. And so we are being reminded that those of us who have faith, who are in a relationship with God, who has definitively revealed everything to us in the person of his Son, Jesus the Christ, as St. Paul articulates in his letter to the Romans, just as once one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and there with it death and all of the disarray and the discombobulation of things that we see going on. So it happened that when the second Adam, Jesus, came, he brought grace which is far more abounding, far overflowing, so that everyone might have the opportunity and the possibility of being saved. So the blessing is not like the curse. It's far more abounding. So we're being reinforced in this word of God today to realize that those of us who have faith in God, we are going to be tested in various ways. God will allow us to go through situations to grow us, to build us up. You think about this word from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. He's in a state of paranoia as he himself is lamenting. And it's so beautiful to read the writings of Jeremiah, because when he was being called for the first time, he says, "Lord, I'm too young. Don't send me. I can't speak." Do not say you're too young and you cannot speak. And God literally placed his word in his mouth, confirming Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah felt bold and emboldened and empowered, and rightly so, because the Almighty God himself has placed his hand on him. But it wasn't long after that that he goes out with this commission and presenting what God told him to present, and he met with tremendous resistance to the point that they were ready to put him down. And this is where we hear, "I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion." Now, how does that come about? How is it that Jeremiah, in his state of paranoia, is describing all that he's afflicted by, all that's happening to him, and yet he comes back with, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty champion"? I was mentioning yesterday afternoon that when we hear the word champion, we're thinking possibly most of the most dominant thing we think of when we hear champion is such as the LSU Tigers, who are seemingly very near to becoming the champions of the NCAA baseball tournament. This afternoon, we can find out just how that's going to play out. And we think in those terms of a champion, somebody who's the best, who achieves something that ranks them as the best at what they do. But there's another meaning associated with champion. And that definition of champion is one who supports another or supports a cause. We speak of so-and-so championed the cause of the poor. Or this person is a tremendous champion of the right to life, especially for the unborn, the most vulnerable of the human race. So, in a paradoxical way, the key to coming to absolute trust in God, who is all-powerful, and that's the other thing. I think we lose the sense of who God is. You know, so many people think, "Well, I don't want to have nothing to do with that God of the Old Testament. Let me have the God of the New Testament. The one that Jesus says, I'm meek and humble of heart. Let me have that God." But are we dealing with a different God? The thunder, the lightning, that when they found themselves in the presence of God in the Old Testament, they were on their knees, bowing down in fear. Well, I happen to remember passages in the gospel, such as the Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John went up the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were looking, "Oh, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. Shall I build 3 tents, one for you, Moses, and Elijah?" Then all of a sudden, the cloud came over and the voice, and they all went down in fear. Didn't dare to look up until Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It is I." Or the same John who rested his head on the heart of Jesus at the Last Supper. In the book of Revelation describes, he heard the voice of one behind him. He turned around and saw one of who was the Son of God and fell as if he was dead. I don't think we're dealing with a different God here. God is all powerful, awesome to behold, one in whose presence we must never lose the sense of the fear of the Lord. Not the type of fear to be a scaredy cat in situations that we might be afraid, like children are afraid of the dark, or we used to be afraid of the dark, or some of us get a little squeamish when we see a cockroach or a snake or whatever like that. No, not that type of fear. The type of fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is a fear that flows out of love. This is a reverential regard for the one who means everything to us, in whom we're convinced we mean everything to as well. This is what Jesus is saying to us. He wants us to realize, yes, there are dangers in the world. It doesn't take one long. You don't have to be in this world for many years to realize this is quite a situation here. There are manifold things that we can be very apprehensive about, and rightly so. There's a lot of evil and people who use the good things of God to manipulate and do very, very bad things. And yet Jesus says, fear no one. He didn't say, fear some. He says, fear no one. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in Gehenna. Now, many of the scholars would propose that he was referring to Satan, who is obviously trying to lead us all to hell. He wants us to go, you know, you're on a highway to hell. Yeah, he wants everybody to get on that road, and he wants to take the drive. He wants, give me the seat. You know how the song, who was it? I forget the country singer. Jesus, take the wheel. I remember coming across an illustration. If you see the devil, he's hitchhiking. Don't ever pick him up, because he always wants to drive. He eventually will get himself in the driver's seat, and you're not going to like where he brings you. So we are being reminded that it's not the devil who has the ultimate power. He has no control over anything other than what we surrender to him. God is the one who's in control. Jesus is the revelation of everything we need to know to place our full trust in the one good Father of heaven and earth. And that's what he's exhorting us to. When all is said and done, as it happened to Jeremiah, eventually they did kill his body. But that was all they could do. That was the worst they could do. They could not destroy his soul. And the genius of God is that when we think about what happened to Jesus, even and especially in the light of everything he told us was going to happen to him, at least three times the Gospels present Jesus telling us everything that would happen to him in Jerusalem to fulfill the will of the Father, to bring about this grace that overflows for every one of us. What was it that he told us was going to happen? That he would die, but on the third day rise again. This revelation is meant to embolden us to have confidence in the Lord, who is saying to us, using the imagery, think about the sparrows. Not one of the sparrows in this creation of God, this vast creation, dies without your Heavenly Father knowing about it. And if that's not enough for you, consider the hair on your head. How many of you here know how many hairs are on your head? I was thinking about that yesterday. I even mentioned it. I don't have any idea, but I can tell you I have less now than when I started. And it seems to be going out faster than when it came in. But regardless of all of that, it's meant to impress upon us God's care for us. We are so much more than sparrows, who are some of the most insignificant. They're not much to look at. You know, for the bird watchers, the sparrows blend in. But they are important. Every single aspect of this creation is meant to realize God's purposes and plans for each one of us, to be with him forever in heaven. So the faith that we have will be tested. And it's in the dark times of life. It's in the dark times that we experience in our souls when our prayer life is dry, when it seems like nothing is going the way it should go. It's in those moments that God is working powerfully in us, so that when we come forth from those moments, those seasons of darkness, those seasons of dryness in the spirit, as we move through this life, we are able to testify to the fidelity of the one who champions us. He supports us in season and out of season, and even in ways we cannot even imagine. I was telling one of the parishioners after daily mass one day this past week, we were sitting there talking about things, and she said, "Father, I just don't know where things are going." I said, "My dear, do you stop and think about it? Right now, you and I standing right here in this church, we are walking on water. Just to exist is walking on water. We cannot sustain ourselves in any way apart from God, who is the beginning and the end of everything." So when it comes to you and I testifying to what we believe and who we believe in and who believes in us and loves us, let us pray for the grace today as we approach Jesus, who gives himself to us over and over again. We say to the Lord, "Lord, you know who I am. You know my weaknesses. You know my fears. But you also know my deepest desire. And in this light, Lord, you, in your great love, who never fail to answer me today anew, with your body, your blood, your soul, your divinity, that I might be able to live in the light of what you have disclosed today in the midst of the challenges that we together are confronting in season and out of season. God love you.